You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Pacers podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams, which now includes the Pacers right here as we head into episode 8 already. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and today for your daily dose of info on the Pacers, we're going to check in on the latest news and injury information from the field house where the Pacers practiced on Monday, including some comments from Miles Turner, Monte Ellis, and Nate McMillan. Then I also want to hit on the semantics of the spread for and kind of what that term means for the Pacers this year with regard to Thad Young and how Nate McMillan views that term. So a little bit different than I view it, but then again, I think he has a good reason behind using that term for Thad Young. So thanks again, you know, for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Really appreciate the audience that continues to grow each day. It's fun to watch as the Pacers soldier through their preseason work and get ready for the regular season against the Dallas Mavericks on October 26th. So please, you know, share your comments, questions via email or on Twitter. You can reach me at IndyCornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at IndyCornrows. And please spread the word about the podcast as well. More listeners, the better. So turning to what happened at the field house today, the Pacers had a day off on Sunday after playing in Chicago on Saturday and returned for practice as they prepared to take on the Bucks down in Evansville on Wednesday. Now, they were sans one important piece, actually the important piece, Paul George, had apparently woke up with a sore throat and was feeling under the weather, which is similar to my oldest son. He's going through the same thing right now, that time of year. He did not go through workout today, but Nate McMillan seemed confident that he wouldn't miss a game down in Evansville. So, you know, PG will certainly be a big draw for, you know, fans going to the game down there. And McMillan mentioned after practice that, you know, it's his intent to play everyone because, you know, they're kind of catering to that important fan base down there in southern Indiana. So they want to make sure they do their best to give at least their preseason money's worth to the folks that show up at the Ford Center down there. So CJ Miles is also, they're also hopeful he'll be able to play, still dealing with a sore knee, but hoping to get on the floor. I'm sure he's dying to get back out on the floor. Miles Turner was in practice today again, apparently suffering no issues from with the concussion after playing on Saturday, but sounds like he'll still be on a minutes restriction. So Turner did talk after practice, and this was really the first practice where he's a full go and able to go against Al Jefferson in a variety of ways. And it is interesting to see the contrasting styles in those guys. You know, Turner's quick, easy to turn around, pop a mid-range jumper, run the floor, while Jefferson's, you know, strong post presence, great offensive player down there with a host of moves, but not necessarily the rim protector that Turner is. So, but you know, Turner mentioned that it was, you know, obviously nice to get working that closely with Jefferson, and he's been a big help to him, showing him that, you know, offensive expertise he has down in the post. Kind of compared it to the way Jan Mahimi helped him, took him under his wing last year and helped him on the defensive end. So he kind of had got that defensive expertise from Mahimi last year. Now he's getting the offensive tutelage from Big Al. So that's a good way to develop for the young fella. And he also mentioned, obviously he's put in a lot of work on his own. And compared to last year, when he kind of had some knee injuries that slowed him down during preseason, this year he knows what the NBA game is about, and he understands his role, what's expected of him, and really is ready to fulfill the big role that he expects to have on the team. So, but again, on Wednesday, still be on a minutes restriction. So, Monte Ellis also had a comment about the two big guys. How Al can show Turner how to be a much bigger threat down there in the post, and also prep him for playing against bigger bigger fives that do have post games. As far as center goes, there's still a lot of good centers around the league, a lot of good size that Turner's going to have to deal with night in and night out. So having Al there as a practice partner is going to be helpful. Monte also mentioned how much he likes the group, that everybody's working hard, and that he kind of feels it's on him to make sure he's bringing energy and talking, and wants to lead by example, and has seen that the teammates, especially the younger guys, when he's out there leading by example, showing what to do, and then he says something, regardless of the tone, they're responding. And he also mentioned that this year's been different for him. The past 3 years, he said he kind of used training camp to get in shape, and this year, with all the offseason work, he arrived ready to roll and hasn't been having to pound his body into shape. So it's been different from that point of view. So again, that's a positive, although not so. If you look back on last year, there were a lot of little things going on behind the scenes with Monte last year, weren't there? So hopefully he's not hiding anything going into this year, but he definitely seems a lot more engaging with the media and and positive. So maybe that's just a clean conscience from putting in all the work and knowing he's fully prepared. So and finally, Nick McMillan addressed his concerns with the team over the past couple games and their issues fouling and on the defensive end. As you mentioned, they're just out of position, standard stuff, not moving your feet, not beating the guy to a spot, ending up having to reach. And also, one thing they stress is getting in a spot where you can go contest a shooter and be straight up, make them shoot over you, and too often they're not getting to that spot and fouling. So the key thing he's focusing on defensively is to avoid getting in a spot where you have to rip down on the ball or reach, because that's normally an automatic foul. So again, he also mentioned how Evansville is real, going to be important to building that fan base down there in the southern part of the state. So they're focusing, want to focus on not only playing their guys, but them playing well and putting on a good show. So hopefully that will be the case, and fortunately we'll be able to watch it on Fox Sports Indiana locally. So let me take a quick minute to again thank the Locked On Podcast Network for the support. As I mentioned, our numbers continue growing, and great shows like Locked On NBA help you know, really build the brand up, and there's a lot of fans checking out a lot of the different Locked On podcasts out there. So check them out, and again, spread the word about Locked On Pacers. Okay, so now I want to shift to a topic that's been kind of bugging me a little bit. Thought it would be worth discussing, and would love to hear your thoughts on the topic. But you know, throughout, you know, from Media Day on, throughout you know, up to today, whenever Nate McMillan's talking about Thad Young and what he brings to the Pacers, you know, he mentions him as being, you know, the great, you know, perfect spread for the NBA today. And, you know, thinking of Thad Young's career and, you know, a guy who hasn't shot a lot of threes and in some seasons shot hardly any threes, to me, that's one of the key components of a spread four or stretch four. But as we've seen Young now play on the court and see what he can do, I kind of have a little better understanding now of how McMillan views the term, or is using the term in this case. And I know he talked about it last week, and Nate Taylor from the Indy Star and Mark Monteith of Pacers.com both had good pieces about Young and what he's bringing to the Pacers. So I would implore you to check those two out, both those pieces by, again, Nate Taylor at the Indy Star and Mark Monteith on Pacers.com. So there's a familiar quote from McMillan. This one is from Nate Taylor's article, which, I mean, with Nate Taylor now and Nate McMillan, it seems like Nate is the new George for the Pacers. But anyways, here's a quote kind of similar to one I've heard him say in the past, but really captures the essence of what I'm talking about. This is, again, Nate McMillan talking about Thad Young. Quote, "He's a legit spread four in the league today. He has versatility to handle the ball, and he can score and pass the ball. He defends well. The other night against New Orleans, he was able to guard Anthony Davis, a big forward. That versatility certainly helps us out." So, you know, that gives you the idea that Young can do a lot of things, defend a lot of different types of players. And so that's where he is viewing a spread four as, you know, to me, I think, you know, Channing Frye, Dirk Nowitzki, Kevin Love, Draymond Green, Ryan Anderson, you know, guys who can punish teams from behind the arc, and or, you know, force a big defender to go keep them from punishing them and then opening things up for teammates. So that kind of has been the current, you know, way that at least I view that threat of a spread four, stretch four. But, you know, now, to be fair, Thad Young is shooting 100% from the three-point line in preseason, but he's only taken two shots in four games. So, you know, there's no doubt he's going to shoot more threes, and will likely get out there and look a little more like a spread for that, from my definition. But the versatility of him and his ability to score inside or out, you know, depending upon who's on him, right? His quickness and you know, also not only offensively being able to, you know, try and create a mismatch inside or out, but also be able to defend a wide range of players. And then, you know, one thing we've seen in the preseason, he can grab a rebound and just go. And you know, as they're trying to ramp up the pace, that's the quickest way to get the ball up court, is just grab it and go. It's looked real impressive a few times in the preseason, leading the break. So that, you know, is definitely a where the value is of Thad Young as a spread four. He can get you in a lot of different mismatches, and that ultimately is what you're looking for, right? Is to create those mismatches depending upon the matchup from night to night. And, you know, one good thing about that is that, you know, a lot of those guys who are, you know, just long range shooters, they don't always have a good shooting night. You know, if Channing Frye is clanking the threes, he's probably not going to see the floor for very long, and he's certainly not going to impact winning. So Young is still, you know, at 28, he's right in the prime spot of his career. And, you know, I kind of think of guys that he may evolve into and be able to expand his career, you know, once some of that versatility and quickness wears off. But, you know, guys like Chris Bosh or Sam Perkins, who once they slowed down a bit, became higher volume three-point shooters. I think, you know, Perkins really didn't start shooting at the high volume numbers until he was in his 30s, and then that expanded his career, as we all know, quite a few more years. So, but you know, I wouldn't stuff Young out behind the arc yet. He's still got a couple, 2-3 years, I would think, before he has to completely adjust his game. But you know, that's kind of, you know, the way the league is, and the type of player he could evolve into. I also, you know, since he's a lefty, those guys also come to mind. So, but you know, when they ramped up their career, they were very impactful on winning teams. So, that's kind of what Young may have in the future. But for this year, he'll no doubt be pulling the trigger on open threes, but he won't be hunting them down, at least early in the season, I wouldn't think. He'll remain in attack mode and try and push the ball and make plays closer to the rim. But for now, as Nate McMillan says, he is the legit spread forward for the Pacers. So we'll see how that works out. I'd love to hear how you may define that spread forward, and what type of player, you know, maybe the Pacers need. You know, we talk about their lack of depth on perimeter shooting, just lack of perimeter shooting, and the idea that, you know, getting a guy, say like a Channing Frye, who could come off the bench and spread the floor and be lethal from behind the arc, would be great. But it seems like the Pacers are definitely going to be asking more of Young this year than just to be a guy that can shoot from the perimeter. So hopefully he can bring all of that, and then, you know, any of those threes he knocks down will be gravy, and certainly help the Pacers get a few more wins. So that wraps up the podcast for today. Thanks again for listening. And as always, you can find the podcast on audioboom.com, and also subscribe via iTunes. Let me hear what you have to say, of course. Again, you can reach me at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. So that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.